The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I read a list this morning. Games to watch for one Southern college football blue blood. And it left me with one giant question. It is Chuck Oliver Show, live on a Thursday from Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina, broadcasting from the book, Sportsbook, live on property here. We cut the ribbon. We were back here beginning of March, a couple months back, for the first couple of days of March Madness. We were here and helped open them. Actually, I saw the first wager ever. I think I was like the third wager ever. But we are back in Cherokee, North Carolina, broadcasting today. So appreciate everybody jumping in. I read a list this morning. And I had gone back and made some notes when I was reading through Athlon Sports. And love Athlons and Lindy's. And I talked about how I would pay $75 if Blue Ribbon would ever come back with a college football preview. But I'll tell you, it was Athlon Sports. And they had a list of games to watch in the ACC. And I was like, all right, well, let's see what they identify. And I said it left me with a big question. Yeah, games to watch for who? Because it certainly doesn't include FSU fans. There were only about seven games listed from the ACC, games to watch. Here are four of those games. Notre Dame at FSU, that is the opening weekend game. That's the Sunday night game, I believe, right? Because, what is it, Louisville plays on, maybe that's on the Monday night, I think. But Notre Dame at FSU, it's that opening weekend. Florida State at Clemson, Miami at FSU, FSU at Florida. All right, let's look at the opponents in these FSU games to watch. Notre Dame, undefeated regular season playoff team last year. Lost five straight to Clemson, including a pass two by a combined 80 points. Lost four straight to Miami last season by six touchdowns. As for UF, Dan Mullen, 2-0 versus the Seminoles. Didn't play last year. So the 81-31 combined score of those two games, make however much of that you want. All right, I will let you do that. I just know that right now, the two programs are an Okefenokee swamp apart from each other. I won't say like Gulf of Mexico or Grand Canyon because Florida is a championship program, and that's not what this year. I don't believe that's not what this year's 2021 Florida team is. Not really. I don't believe. But. And so by Florida's own measuring sticks, what do they tell you when they fire Jim McElwain? You think we care about two stinking East Division titles? We knew we were never going to. We talked about that yesterday. Dan was talking about Dan Mullen and what he still needs to do. And I said, but it was different. The 3 or 4 loss team with McElwain who went to Atlanta, I was like, yeah, you ain't winning. You're not beating Alabama. It's just not going to happen. And so there was a chance last year at least, and I didn't think it was going to happen, but I watched Kyle Trask throw them into a real game against Bama in the fourth quarter. So that was last year, and so I'm not going to comment just about Florida and where they are for 2021 because it's not a potential championship team, I don't believe. But I'm comparing Florida to Florida's measuring sticks. In this games to watch list, FSU at Florida. I'll compare Florida to the Seminoles, and it is a sizable, beyond argument separation right now. Here's a short version. Florida isn't winning that game this season, or possibly any of this list of games. Now, the Miami thing's possible, because Miami is no great shakes, head and shoulders. Miami's got Derek King if he's healthy. And that changes things. But Miami is not like a cinder block on the scale. It might be a thumb. But the Miami thing is possible. That is as far as I'll go. Now, the addition, because I can't say, but the big picture here, no, that's the big picture, is that the four games that are games to watch for the Seminoles, those four games, you could win one of them. I don't think you win any. And so that's the picture. I'm going to say the additional picture. Because, buddy, the post is open. But there's an underneath route as well. The additional picture at work here? In 2021, FSU isn't the reason you're watching a single one of those games. And that's not an opinion. That's fact. The Miami game is equal work, okay? But that is just brand right now. Florida State, Miami. Yeah, I'm watching. Why? Man, I remember those games. Boy, they were great. I just told you, Miami has won. No matter what was going on in Tallahassee, buddy, they were taking care of Miami. That's not happening. Four straight. So you blink in college football and you look up and go, what? There was a stretch, actually, where, I mean, Florida was taking it out on Georgia. And then, was it 2010 with the black helmets and stomping on the logo, whenever that was? You blinked. And all of a sudden, Georgia's, I was like, Georgia could win three straight this year? If Georgia wins in Jackson, three straight? Do you know what three straight means in a series? First of all, it only takes two full calendar years to win, quote, three straight. Three straight means the next year when you run out of the tunnel, there's a likelihood nobody on that roster's lost to Florida or Georgia or Bama or Auburn or whoever. That's college football. You blink. And all of a sudden, what, Miami's won four straight? Uh-huh. And they stepped on the gas in a couple of those. When I said Florida State isn't the reason you're watching any of these, we're on in Tallahassee. Love y'all, Tallahassee. What up, Jeff? We're going to take ESPN Tallahassee and all the Seminoles fans out because you're going to watch them every way. I mean, every week. Now, there are a lot of reasons you will. I've seen sports fans. College football is the last thing this gets. It happens in the NBA, baseball, certainly the NFL, you hate watch. Like Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans, I know for years they would hate watch the Buccaneers. Just so you would have all the details when you go to work the next day so you can plan. Yeah, that's right. And you remember this happened? FSU is not the reason you're – Florida State fans will watch. Outside of them, Florida State's not the reason we're watching this. The Miami game possibly, but again, that's just the matchup. Otherwise, we're watching to see how Notre Dame's offense is without Ian Book. We're watching to see if Justin Ross is 100% healthy or et cetera. We're not watching for Florida State. Now, when you talk about the patch of college football real estate that you live on, like your neighborhood, maybe your street in the neighborhood, I got to tell you, growing up, I lived in a neighborhood called Pine Ridge. You can go find it on. You can Google your computer and find Pine Ridge in Lawrenceville, Georgia. I am not – folks, that was a really nice neighborhood for Lawrenceville, Georgia in the mid to late 70s. Really nice neighborhood. Can I tell you the God's honest? We lived in the first house on the first street. Do you know where the really expensive houses were? The last houses on the final street. So you look around, what neighborhood are you in? That's one thing. What street do you live on? If you're Florida State, man, you were the biggest house behind the gate. You may have had like an actual human down there. Was it 14 straight seasons of top five or 15 straight seasons of top four, whatever it was? And then finally the national championships, plural, multiple came. Where they are right now, where there is a game against, and I'll say this the way a Florida State fan would have said it until about 10 years ago, a game against Clemson, and we're not the reason you're watching, and they would have said it that way. By the way, that probably would have been justified. Clemson had taken up ownership of the ACC in the 80s until Florida State showed up and was like, all right, we'll take this. Huh? No, wait a minute. This was – yeah, well, it was. Clemson? Yeah, Clemson. And the only reason people are watching that game is because of them. That's the additional picture. Now, if that's just the – somebody with the brand of Florida State and they're sort of the supporting act, if that's the additional picture – imagine how devastating the actual big picture would be. We'll take a break, come back with more next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
USFL is back. See you in 2022. It's football. It is real football. It's pro football at the highest level. It's just being played in the spring.
Heisman Trophy winner Doug Flutie announcing yesterday that the United States Football League is returning. Fox has purchased the franchise names, logos, colors, all of that. Doug Flutie, and I believe, I could check the dates. I believe it was either Doug Flutie or Sean Landetta, who was a punter. Those were the final two players who appeared in the USFL to be playing in the National Football League. Now, one thing Doug Flutie said there, he said, football at the highest level, it almost was. It almost was. The USFL, I was ninth grade, I think, when they debuted, and it was really good football. It wasn't great football, and it wasn't consistent football because of so much variance in the ownership, the financial status of the different owners. But they signed, I think it was three straight Heisman Trophy winners. They brought about a lot of – and by the way, the Renegade Rebel League, the upstart, is always where the rule changes come from. You had two-point conversions in the USFL. You had coaches' challenges in the USFL. You had juniors eligible to sign pro contracts. I remember I was walking up the hill towards the locker room coming off the field spring of my freshman year in high school. And I'm walking up the hill. We're having spring practice. And after practice one day, Herschel signed. I was like, what? What do you mean Herschel signed? With who? There's nobody to sign with. He's only a junior. No, he left. I was like, he's going to Canada? No, he signed with the USFL. I was like, oh, my goodness, it's on. Because the Canadian Football League had done some things like that before. But it was the CFL. What are you going to do? Different league, different country.
We didn't care. You signed with Saskatchewan. You signed with a team that plays in this. So that was the USFL. I'm hopeful one announcement yesterday will correct a pro football injustice. USFL stats need to be included in what, for instance, the Hall of Fame voters consider. I would invite you to Google your computer. Go look up Artis Gilmore. Do you know the name Artis Gilmore? How about Julius Erving? You know the name Julius Erving? When you look in the official record, Artis Gilmore's numbers with the Chicago Bulls and San Antonio Spurs, for instance, are included. So are his numbers with the Kentucky Colonels. Julius Erving's numbers are included with the Philadelphia 76ers and the Virginia Squires and the New York Nets, who played in Long Island, and then the New Jersey. They're included. Folks, Major League Baseball, they're figuring out a way to include Negro League stats. There is 0% chance those stats are reliable. It's iffy in plenty of cases with Major League Baseball stats from the 20s and 30s. You're figuring out a way to do it, though. If you include USFL, which, by the way, Doug Flutie says, football at the highest level, I hope that they are attempting to do that, because I'll say right now, as much, there was a shot that the original USFL would have made it, if not for the proposed and then adopted attempt to move to the fall and sue the NFL. That's a bigger story, but there was a chance, and it was because they signed players like Doug Flutie, Herschel Walker, Kelvin Bryant, Reggie White, Steve Young. Oh, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. Yes. And those numbers need to be included. I want to invite you to go look up like Pro Football Reference. Go look at Herschel Walker's numbers at Pro Football Reference. All right. Go somewhere else and find Herschel Walker's numbers with the New Jersey Generals. Unbelievable stuff. Well, he was going against USFL defenses. He was running behind a USFL offensive line with a USFL quarterback and USFL receivers to occupy that defense. So whatever you want to say about who was trying to tackle him, that's who was on his side too. Dan, how are you?
Oh, everything is great. And, you know, here's the deal with the USFL in spring football in general is
Chuck Kelly. I didn't even say Jim Kelly and the Houston Gamblers.
The Houston Gamblers, exactly. I mean, just the list goes on and on.
Loser, I am.
I mean, Steve Spurrier with the Bandit Ball. Yeah, with the Tampa Bay Bandits. So, no, you've got all of those there. But the thing is we all know that spring football is never going to work until Park Avenue gives it the rubber stamp, until they say, okay, this is fine. We can increase practice squad numbers. We can send the guys who fell below a certain threshold of, say, kind of like the four games in college football, Chuck, where you can have that and then still be eligible for a redshirt the following season. That's the only way that spring football is going to
work. Sign off by Goliath.
It has to be. It has to be Roger Goodell and the Players Association and everybody working on it, where honestly, I think if you reached a certain point, because tell me that there are not guys on a practice squad in the NFL that would say, hey, you know what? I didn't get to see the field this year. Oh, I was a tackling dummy during the season. And some people say, oh, well, you can't have them go from them. Then going over to spring football, I'd say the hell you can't. Absolutely you can. And then guess what? NFL coaches, you want to talk about them saying, hey, guess what? We can go to the players and say, good news, guys, no more OTAs, maybe a mandatory minicamp. But aside from that, none of those things, because we're getting a look at the guys we want to get a look at right now on the field playing against each other for about 6 or 8 games this spring.
Yeah, one big hindrance to other spring leagues as well. And I'm going to tell you now, it wasn't necessarily a spring league, at least not to begin with. But the Arena League, do you know when it found its biggest footing? And it got a TV contract with NBC, et cetera. When Tom Benson owned the New Orleans Voodoo, when Arthur Blank owned the Georgia Force, Jerry Jones owned the Dallas Desperados, John Elway owned the Colorado Crush, you had NFL ownership involved. You've got to have that official association. And at that point, you actually have a chance for this to really be more than just an alternate league.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, dealing it out 2 hours a day. 9 states, 51 sticks. But I need help, and our next guest can certainly do that from College Football News. That's his site. I've been reading that thing for 2 decades, and I've told y'all, game day, game week previews, as good as you're going to find anywhere. The off-season team previews leading up to the season, tremendous as well, and those are already up there. From College Football News, it is Pete Futek. Pete, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Alvin. That's good. You're probably sounding, you know, out there on remote. That was fun. That was more fun I got here.
Oh, yeah. We're at Harris Cherokee broadcasting live from a sports book. So that's not the worst place to broadcast a radio show from.
It's a dream.
Absolutely. It's called winning, I think Charlie Sheen would call it. Let's talk off the field, unfortunately. I have to start there because, you know, I've always said on field is 10 times more interesting to everybody. Certainly fans, but there's just some housekeeping that we got to do here. Name, image, likeness. How Wild West is this going to turn into? And do you really care?
I care because I'm supposed to. I don't think things necessarily change much. The cynic in me says that, okay, instead of paying players behind the scenes and under the table, they just do it overtly. Really, the name image, as soon as you say name, image, and likeness and NIL, people's eyes gloss over. They should really just call this the Reggie Bush rule, because basically what they're doing is everything Reggie Bush did is now going to be the norm and how it's supposed to be. You want to work with a marketing agency, you want to work with agents, that's going to start to become kosher. And where this gets weird is that it's not like everyone's all of a sudden going to get a Gatorade ad or anything like this. But this could get murky is that the NCAA and each university has its own specific corporate partners that they want to use, and they don't want anything to mess with that. So let's say you're a Nike school and some star quarterback wants to wear Adidas and get an Adidas deal. Now that starts to get a little quirky, and where this gets really funky is let's say, you know, they're going to say, it doesn't apply to recruiting. Theoretically, you're not supposed to be able to say, hey, come to XYZ State and, you know, we'll make sure you get a deal with Jim Bob Auto Dealership. But that's not going to hold up in any sort of class action lawsuit. And then let's say you're Oregon and you're Nike. You can kind of be like, you know, we're not going to promise you anything, but if you come to this school, you're probably going to have a shoe named after you or something. You know, there's just going to be those sort of deals going on.
Did you happen to see any of the headlines? It might have been a month ago. You being chased?
Yeah, I am, actually. They hate that take. They think it's idiotic. And so now I got the bad take police after me, and they're about to, like, run me down here. So you got about 5 more minutes before I'm gone.
I don't know if you happen to see the news about Amazon employees attempt to unionize in the state of Alabama. I don't know if it's not sports. Did you happen to see any of that?
Yeah, I'm aware, and I know where you're going with this. And I am 100% for player rights, and they absolutely need to be unionized beyond just, you know, being able to get paid. It really is more for really boring things like, you know, benefits and long-term health insurance stuff after your college career is over and, you know, all that kind of stuff. The problem with unionizing college players is it's hurting cats. You know, it's impossible enough to get everyone on the same page and to get 18 to 22-year-old kids whose parents are just, you know, most of them are ecstatic that their kids are on scholarship and they don't have to drop, you know, $50,000 a year. It's going to be hard to make this happen. But I see where you're going with it, and the pathway is there for these guys to potentially unionize, but that's going to be a very, very tough road to hoe.
At like the NCAA level, the conference level, an association that gets formed, and then you join a players association, and then they try to unionize collect. Because I'm going to tell you what happened with Amazon in Birmingham or in Alabama. I mean, the last time I went to Amazon, I just checked. I ordered a 2,000 packet box of Splenda. Okay, that's what, and it was Amazon, and people lost their minds in the Deep South when it's my college football program. And this is not a real fertile ground for unionization.
Depends on where you are, and I'm not sure why people are against it other than they've been told and kind of, you know, assumed that it's bad because. But it's actually, you know, a very good thing. And not to dive deeper in this way, but if you're seeing why, you know, so many places are having problems getting workers, it's kind of because of things like this. But I digress. Unionization for college football is absolutely important because you have no representation for the players whatsoever. There's just nothing that the players can do. It's all on the whims of what the NCAA is letting them do, and maybe a few congressmen are pushing things. But they absolutely need it. It's just really, really impossible to try to get that thing together.
And just an opinion is that when this comes, I mean, the NCAA at that point becomes irrelevant almost. They become schedulers.
But they're kind of that anyway. At that point, really what it's going to, the NCAA's whole point is you have to remember there's a whole other weird world of non-revenue sports out there that this all kind of comes together and ties into. Now, what's kind of happening in all of this, to tie it all together, is the overarching goal is if the colleges, you know, the NCAA's got its own self-interest, but really for the colleges, if they can get out of this without actually having to pay players, that's their goal. Because as we saw over the pandemic, what happened as soon as the football attendance revenue went away? Well, there goes your field hockey
baseball,
program,
swimming,
and your men's golf, and all that stuff, which as a non-revenue sportite, I have no problems with, but that's another discussion. But that's where really the NCAA comes in and kind of works that out. And, you know, the NCAA is still going to have control over a whole slew of different things. It's just going to be a different sort of animal. And I don't see the whole infrastructure. And more importantly, to really kind of turn this in, if you're a fan, why do you care? Like, really, as I have learned over the years and been taught very well, as soon as the ball gets kicked off, all this other stuff we're talking about is whatever. I don't know why fans are so into this and care about, well, if a player is able to get money from an autograph signing, or if they're able to unionize and they're able to get health benefits past their college years because of injuries they suffered while doing this. Why? Okay, fine. You know, don't get into a snit about it. It's going to be okay. You're still going to have football.
Oh, yeah, and it's been okay for decades, and it just was never, you know, quote, allowed. Wrapping up, Pete Butak, collegefootballnews.com, and absolute is what I was saying. On field, no matter what, we talk about punters transferring, you know, and it's 10 times more interesting, but with some of the headlines, you just got to do due diligence sometimes.
Now let's put this to the real world real quick, is if you're a fan of, like, all this, oh, well, it's always going to be Alabama, Ohio State, blah, 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 been getting bigger. Well, let's say you got a goofy rich billionaire booster like Utah State, or, you know, the old T. Boone Pickens thing at Oklahoma State. Now you can probably pay to get players to come to your school a little more than you could before. So there is going to be, I think, a couple of programs out there that are going to really benefit from the infrastructure of how this is going to work.
Yeah, I'm an Auburn grad, and I was asked about, you know, Cam Newton back in the day, and sometimes people still even ask me about it. And, yeah, I was pretty comfortable with the NCAA going, yeah, we looked, couldn't find anything, this is over. But that's not me defending Auburn. That's just me, you know, kind of my take on it. I really don't think anything happened. But I always say, comma, But if it only cost 180 grand for an undefeated season, a Heisman Trophy, and 50 touchdowns for my quarterback, I was like, deal of the century. I was like, I'll put my hands on a couple of grand, and I'll kick him for the next 180 grand.
Y'all really think that Cam Newton decided, Mississippi State's offering me this, and I'll just go play here for free?
Well, State didn't offer him. His father requested it from Mississippi State, and that's when Dan Mullen backed off and said, we can't recruit that kid anymore.
You're right. I have no problem with any of it. It's fine. And the problem is it's all been demonized and said, well, you know, this is bad. You are of ill moral fiber if you, you know, were to take a payout from a booster. Why? You know, it's just there's no reason for this other than the NCAA wanting to maintain control. And again, we're going forward, this is going to be the sticky part, where you say, Heisman caliber player X has a deal with Gatorade and, you know, linebacker Y is getting, you know, $100 from a booster. Same diff. You know, who cares? It's fine. We're still getting football. We're still getting college basketball. Now, the transfer portal is going to have to be cleaned up, and they're going to do something about that. But in general, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll stay off the field quickly, and we'll talk sort of with the portal. Is the easiest mechanism to kind of balance all this out, if you lose a player through the portal, you can replace him and it won't count against your 25 scholarships? Because there are teams looking around going, 25, we need a lot more than 25 to get up to 85.
Here is where if the NCAA was on its game and figures this one out fast, you kind of cut the deal with yourself, but you kind of cut the deal with the players and you say, all right, we'll give you all this name, image, and likeness stuff. You can go get paid and do all that stuff. But that's it for scholarships. Like, you can, if you choose to do all this, well, then you don't get scholarship and go forward with this. And then if you choose to transfer, well, that doesn't necessarily, you know, transfer over with it. You know, there are ways to gin this up and make it sort of tough for these players to transfer, as opposed to now, where just wait. We're about a month and a half away from when it really starts to kick in. And more than ever, depth charts mean everything. And if you're that quarterback who is in a quarterback battle right now, the second the depth chart gets released and that's a number two guy, the vultures are going to swarm and say, hey, you know, you're number two there. You could probably start for us. And that's all going to kick in really, really fast.
And this year, you're right, it's as late as July 1. It'll be May 1st going forward. But the latest July 1, you're talking, you know, 4.5 weeks before your first practice. Pete, I promise, next time it's just on field, man. I got to ask you about Ohio State some or other. I got an FSU. I got a Miami. We got to bounce around next time, okay?
Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Clemson. There's your final four. You'll just get there somehow.
Get the details at collegefootballnews.com. Appreciate it, Pete.
Okay.
All right, we will take a break. Come back with more next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now, more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, broadcast live from Harris Cherokee. Cherokee, North Carolina. I am in the book right now, the new book that opened about 2 months ago. No, 3 months ago, actually. We were here for the beginning of March Madness almost 3 months ago, and we cut the ribbon on it, and so we were at the book. Also, Harris Cherokee. Harris Valley River in Murphy, North Carolina, as well as Harris Cherokee, where I am today. They have the book over there. It's live, on-site, collegiate and professional sports wagering. So we continue on a Thursday. I was mentioning earlier the need for Hall of Fame voters, among others, to consider USFL stats and their voting process. It would, on the first vote that they would have following the adoption of those stats, it would impact their vote on the spot. There were four Pro Football Hall of Fame players who played in the USFL. Jim Kelly, Reggie White, Steve Young, Hall of Famer as well, Gary Zimmerman, offensive lineman. I did not say Herschel Walker. And if you look at Herschel Walker's NFL stats, it's impressive stuff. Could catch the football. He returned a lot more kicks than people realize and was really good at that. In the USFL, Herschel played 3 years. He ran for 5,500 yards and 54 touchdowns. He caught 130 passes for another seven scores. And he returned three kickoffs for 69 yards. He also converted on two-point conversions. I give you all that to say that was it NFL caliber play? It wasn't consistently across every roster. But this also wasn't the case of when you're playing like youth league football at the lower levels, you know, they've got the weight classification. You know, you can't have, you know, 125-pound kid, you know, I don't know, playing against second graders or whoever. But there are times when you get up, even into high school, college, much rarer. Jim Brown did this in the NFL. But in youth leagues and then in high school, there are running backs who it's just impossible to stop. Told you about a situation kind of unfolded in front of me. I was doing color on a high school season kickoff. I could tell you what the day, if I cared enough to look up, it's not important. It was whatever game was beginning Robert Kimdichie's sophomore season. Because I was doing color on the game, and I was talking to the coach, Mickey Kahn, who's now, I think he's the safeties coach at Clemson. But he was the head coach at a place called Grayson, and there was Denzel Kimdichie, who was the older brother, and he was going to be a senior, as I'm recalling this. So they're playing whatever, you know, part of this televised doubleheader. And I'm down there asking about the college prospects because I know that that's why a lot of fans tune in. All right, well, this guy's committed to Mississippi State, this guy, you know, whoever. And so Mickey's telling me about Denzel. I'm like, who's that? He's like, oh, that's Denzel's little brother. Robert Kimdichie. He was whatever that is, 15, I guess. And if you advance a couple of years down the road, I'm doing color on the high school state championship game. And, again, the stats are out there. He averaged like 7 yards a carry or 9 yards a carry. It was not a fair proposition. When Grayson had a third and two or a fourth and one, all right, we'll give it to Kimdichie. Put him in the backfield for a play or two. And then, all right, well, now we got a first down. It wasn't going to happen. If you were playing, if it was fourth and one and Robert Kimdichie was getting the ball, it wasn't going to happen for you. Sorry. That's not what this was. I said earlier that he wasn't running against 11 guys who could play in the NFL on the opposing defense, but he also wasn't running behind five NFL offensive linemen. And he didn't always have an NFL quarterback, and he didn't always have NFL receivers to distract that defense. Herschel Walker put up unbelievable numbers in the USFL, and it would get him into the Hall of Fame if you just look. Oh, wow, how have we left him out? So there was a lot of really good football played in the USFL, but here's the reality. It's going to look the same sort of. It's going to look differently because I don't know that you had a Under Armour logo on a New Jersey Generals jersey back in the day. May have had Adidas, but that was like right before all the logo stuff and all over the jerseys. So it's going to look mostly the same. I have no idea what the quality of play will be. Give me more football, certainly. We discussed earlier an official association with the NFL. That would mean a little bit more permanence. And when I say permanence, it's not just in the realm of from season to season. Let's have 5, 6, 8 years of this. I'm saying as far as during the middle of a season, knowing that you really are going to be able to finish the schedule. If there is any sort of official NFL association, it really changes things. So it's going to look a lot alike. But if there is not any sort of either spring feeder league arrangement with the National Football League, then just the sense of it not being permanent, it's going to be hard to really maximize this thing. So I don't know about the quality of play. Like I said, it can look the same as far as colors and logos and who's playing. They may even – there's a chance if – I don't know if there's an LA Express. Maybe they play in the LA Coliseum. Maybe. And so that really looked the same. But when that happened, it was Steve Young and Herschel Walker. So not exactly going to be the same if you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback on one side and a Hall of Fame, in my estimation at least, Hall of Fame running back on the other. The USFL owners, if you're way too young for this, and I'm going to say if you are younger than about, honestly, if you're younger than 40, then I'm talking about the Lincoln administration. But you had USFL owners, for better or worse, they were like, no, we're signing NFL players. That's what we're doing. And NFL players, it sounds absurd at the time, but if you go back to when the USFL debuted in 1983, you didn't have a lot of choices. You could go, I don't know, learn to speak French and go up to the play in Canada. And Vince Ferragamo, who started a Super Bowl for the Rams, he's like, I'm not getting paid, so I'm going to Canada. David Overstreet, who was a running back, I believe with the Dolphins, and he had come out of Oklahoma. He went up and played with Montreal. So there were some different – Rocket Ishmael did it. And so that was an option, but it wasn't really an attractive option. Not many players, even with the additional money, not many players chose it. USFL, that changed stuff because it wasn't just, well, Herschel Walker left Georgia and Steve Young came out of Brigham Young. It was current NFL players saying, I don't like your salary offer. I'm going to play for the Oklahoma Outlaws. And Doug Williams said, no, Tampa, I'm not playing for the – maybe 26 NFL franchises, and at one point Doug Williams was the 30th highest-paid quarterback in the league. He took him to the playoffs. They'd been an expansion team before they drafted him. He went to go play for the Oklahoma Outlaws. So that is a possibility, but like I said, it's going to look similar. I don't know about the quality of play, and so we'll have to see what that turns into. All right, I saw an announcement yesterday, and I got to call myself out. I saw an announcement that LSU running back Kavontre Bradford, former four-star recruit, is in the portal. And I was like, oh, that's the kid from Reston, Louisiana that was committed to Louisiana Tech, and he got that fourth star. I have juxtaposed, and I think I actually mentioned that on the air. That is not – Kavontre Bradford is from Texas. I was thinking of Katravion Hargrove, who is from Ruston, got the fourth star, and he wound up going to Mississippi State. So apologies to everybody involved. I was just horrified when I saw that announcement yesterday.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.